home in on Dr. Hannah too.
I do think that the males can feel more comfortable coming to me and asking me questions and situations and things like that about AIDS and homosexuality and things than they would a male executive director. That they would feel that, you know, they should act all knowing and you know, never ask a question because someone may think you're doubting your own sexual orientation, you know, by even asking this question. And so I feel that a lot of adult men, both in church and in businesses and things like that, have felt comfortable with me being a female and with me being a preacher's wife, that they could come to me, and a social worker, I guess, used to holding things in confidence. Patty. Yeah, I want to call her back. Ask her to call me back.
Well, that's okay. So definitely
that the combination, you know, of a social worker, a preacher's wife, and the executive director of a taboo a clinic that handles a taboo illness, that they can approach me better because I'm a woman. I may be off base on that. I have that sense, though, that if I were a male and my degree was in business administration and my wife was the secretary, that I wouldn't be approached as much with questions.
Now, you arrived here in November of 1991 in what was a very well-known incident when the city of Oxford was trying their damnedest to push the clinic that was in downtown Oxford out because of the quote-unquote undesirables that it attracted. And I'm just wondering, you know, what was it like to have just been on the job in less than several, you know, because you moved into the current building in January of 92. What was, you know, that must have been quite a situation, you know, in your first couple of months in the job to deal with.
Most of the really big furor happened prior to my coming, when Dr. Hannah and the previous director had the, you know, the town meeting and were pretty much attacked by the mayor and townspeople and had some death threats and things like that. When I came on board, the clinic pretty much had a quiet existence, but it was still very much in the media's mind, and I remember my very first day, it was either my first day or my second day on the job, that someone from Channel 6 in Birmingham came, you know, with all the cameras and the mics and the whole bit, wanting to interview me because Magic Johnson had announced that he was HIV positive, and for me to talk about that and here, you know, I was thinking, you know, my knowledge of HIV AIDS is very limited, and I'm supposed to at least appear like I know everything. And he was coupling that late-breaking news with the fact that it was known then that we were moving from our site in Oxford to an all-black township down the road in Hobson City, and that the mayor and the folks in Hobson City had in fact made us aware of the location and in essence invited us into their community to operate an AIDS medical clinic. So he was trying to tie in, you know, what do I think that Magic's announcement will do? Will we get more minority populations coming in to be tested? And will that cause more people, because you're moving into an all-black township, will more minority populations come? And by the way, how is it different being invited into a community as opposed to Oxford being so entirely hostile to your being there? And I remember feeling, I hope I'm going to be entirely politically correct in everything I say. Said that I thought that it was possible, at least for a brief period of time, that more people might come out to be tested now that Magic Johnson had made it known that he was heterosexual and had gotten the transmission that way, and maybe they would, and that it felt very good to be invited into a community. He wanted to know, did I think the reason that Hobson City was inviting us in was, he said, is that because they're black and black people are less prejudiced, or they know prejudice and therefore are trying, to treat you in the way that they want to be treated and that sort of thing. And I said that I felt that it showed that they must have more knowledge about this disease than possibly the mayor of Oxford had. That was my little slam at him, that they knew that by inviting us here to operate in their clinic, that it wasn't going to infect everyone in Hobson City. The mayor of Oxford thought that the entire town of Oxford would be infected with this virus through the sewage and things like that by our existing there. And prepared to watch myself on television that night, only to see that petitions were being circulated in Hobson City against our being here. And I didn't know about that. The anchorman didn't know about that until he came to take a shot of the clinic, the new place, and found that a person who was born and reared in this community but had moved away to Boston and lived there for several years and had moved back here to live, and she was very politically active in Boston and was attempting to begin to be politically active here in Hobson City, and she discovered that the mayor had invited us here, and maybe some of the council men, they have all the council men, had okayed it, but they had not opened the council meeting up to the public, to all the people in Hobson City, and allowed them to come to that meeting, told them that they were thinking of inviting an AIDS clinic to come in and allow them an opportunity to air their fears and concerns and thoughts on the matter. And they felt that that Oxford had literally run us out of town and were trying to dump an undesirable, the AIDS clinic, on this community because they were a black community and were impoverished and had little money or ability to fight it off, that we were just being dumped on them against their will. And many people didn't know, who lived here, didn't know that we had been invited here, but thought that Oxford was forcing us here. And I couldn't understand how they thought Oxford could force us to move here from both ends. How could they force Hobson City to accept us? And how could they force us to go anywhere? Until later, when I learned some of the history of the community, and that back in the early 1800s, a gentleman who was running to be mayor of Oxford ran on the platform that if you elect me as mayor of your fair city, I'll see to it that all the black people here are run out of town. And he was elected, and all the black people were moved to the far northern end of Oxford, what is now Hobson City, but they incorporated and formed their own township, and now are one of the few remaining all-black townships in the country. But I think that history is known among a lot of people who have lived here for a long time, and it was almost as though Oxford still had some kind of power to force, that it forced all the black people to move here, and now it's going to force the AIDS clinic to move here, and that sort of thing. But I was real disappointed. And then, of course, all the news media wanted to know what I thought about not being accepted in the community after all. And what could I say except I was very disappointed. But wanted very much to have the opportunity to address City Hall and have the townspeople come in and let us answer their questions and put their fears at ease, because I knew what my own fears had been and assumed that theirs were not that different. And we were, in fact, Dr. Hannah and I were, in fact, invited to come before City Hall. It was publicized. It was an open meeting. There were very few empty seats there. A lot of people were hostile, angry that we were there. The woman who had circulated the petition was there. Her petition, interestingly enough, started out, AIDS, A-I-D-S, stands for the Acquired Immunodeficiency Syndrome. HIV stands for the Human Immunodeficiency Virus. These are some of the symptoms. This is the AIDS hotline. If you think you may be at risk, please call these numbers so you can get help. I mean, she did a lot in terms of passing that petition around door to door here to educate people about this disease and about this virus and telling them where they could go for help. And I was kind of blown away by that. And then she expressed that her concerns were that the basketball court in front of our building was the only playground in Hobson City. It's where, from the very young to the very old, would meet. And she felt that our trash would end up out on the basketball court, specifically our needles that we had thrown away would break out of those little plastic bags, and or kids or IV drug users or someone would be opening our little plastic bags out back and finding the needles and syringes, and they would make their way into kids and things like that, and that we were going to spread this disease that way. And I was glad to be able to explain to them how we dispose of our hazardous waste. I mean, we have to specifically hire a hazardous waste company and dispose of our needles in a very specific way. And someone comes in a truck to pick them up. They don't go in a little plastic bag out back. But they didn't know that. And if you hadn't worked in the medical community, you might not know that. You might think that you throw your trash away the same way everybody else does. Put a little garbage can, tie it in a plastic bag, throw it out back. And that really went a long way in satisfying their fears and concerns and knowing that we were going to be responsible neighbors and how we, after all, were here to fight the spread of this disease, not to aid in the spreading of it, but to stop the spread of it, and that we were going to do everything possible to help prevent this disease, and went on to be able to explain that, and then was very happy to see people within the community bringing their children into the building to get materials for educational programs. They were going to do a project in science class and on and on and on, and kids from the playground began to come in on hot days to get cooled off in the air conditioning and to drink out of the water fountain and not be afraid that they were going to get AIDS by getting the drink out of the fountain. And I feel that we have very much shown how we can be good neighbors and good citizens and excellent healthcare providers and healthcare workers in this community. And I do feel that, unfortunately, too many people still think that we will run out of Oxford. And that was not the case. We outgrew that little building. We got too many patients. As I said earlier, I had no office in that building. And I knew I wasn't going to get that big plush office on the top floor. but I at least wanted an office. And that's why we moved, not because we were run out. And I think now, even the community of Oxford, we have done programs there, and we have spoken to the school there. I do think there's still a lot of misinformation and a lot of people who don't want to even know any of the information. But that the days of the intense hostility of death threats and things like that have passed.